Hey friends, welcome back. So today we are going to look about the book that is How Not to Diet by Michael Greger. So the proposition of this book is every month we see a new diet changes and weight loss fad, and yet obesity rates continue to rise. So it's time to find a different approach. So the book that which we are going to look around now is basically the story shorts, and the one which we are looking is having the profound insights that are backed up by that are backed up by 5,000 researchers and the references around that. So now let's see what is the problem. So coming to the story short one, obesity is a greater epidemic than it has ever been. Greger explains, we currently are 10 times fatter than we were 100 years ago. Additionally, this growth in obesity has not been linear. Instead, obesity in developed nations has grown exponentially in the last 50 years. Worryingly, this increase in obesity is showing no signs of slowing down. Some diets claim the issue is your willpower. Greger challenges this claim and explains our bodies simply react to the food we eat in the way it has been designed. The human body evolved within environments where food was scarce. Due to this scarcity, we have evolved to store excess calories as fat to survive the winter months. Additionally, we tend to crave high-calorie foods more for the same reason. The reason for the obesity epidemic is that these high calorie foods are available readily in the fingertips. The 70s brought with deep freezing and ready meals, plus an introduction of treat foods as everyday option. The issue with the increased processing characterized by 80s in these food items lack fiber and nutritional value. Plus they are filled with added sugars and oils. Greger calls these foods as crap, calorie rich and processed. So the foods which are filled with added sugars and oils are the crap. Story short 2. Ingredients for ideal weight loss diet. Greger explains a plant-based approach to weight loss that focus on whole minimally processed food. According to Greger, the ideal weight loss should include a variety of non-starchy vegetables. This should make up the majority of your plate. As you know, the low in calories and they are high in fiber, nutrients and antioxidants. Fruits, choose a variety of fruits that are high in fiber and antioxidants, such as berries and apples. Whole grains, choose whole grains that are high in fiber. Legumes such as beans are high in protein, and lentils, chickpeas, protein and fiber help you to feel full and satisfied. Nuts and seeds are high in healthy. Plant-based protein like tofu, tempeh, or this and protein, plant-based protein products. Healthy fats, choose healthy fats such as found in nuts, seeds and avocados. Greger also recommends avoid processed foods such as added sugars and refined grains, as well as limiting intake of animal product and highly processed plant-based foods. It's important to remember that everyone's nutritional needs are different. It may be helpful to work with a healthy care. Professional to create a personalized weight loss plan that meets your specific needs and goals. So before we deep dive into that, let's see what is the non-starchy processed foods. So I'm just looking around for the rules of thumb to identify a table or fruits that is non-starchy. So when identifying whether a vegetable or food that is non-starchy, here are some general rules of thumb. Non-starchy vegetables often have a high water content, leading to a crisp and leafy texture. These are brightly colored though. Starchy vegetables on the other hand might be denser and have a creamier or grainier texture once cooked. So non-starchy vegetables and fruits typically have more neutral and slightly bitter taste compared to starchy ones, which often taste sweeter and have more pronounced flavor when cooked. Non-starchy vegetables include leafy greens, broccoli, cauliflower, sprouts and other things, tomatoes and cucumbers, whereas starchy vegetables include potatoes, corn, peas, etc. Sugar content. Non-starchy fruits, vegetables generally have lower sugar content. When you eat them, they tend to cause a slower and more gradual rise in blood sugar levels. Calorie content. Non-starchy vegetables are usually lower in calories and carbohydrates than starchy vegetables. This is because they have higher water and fiber content, which adds bulk without adding a lot of calories. Cooking impact. Cooking can change the texture and sometimes the taste of vegetables and fruits. Starchy ones tend to become softer and sweeter, while non-starchy vegetables become retain more than crispiness and become tender without sweetness. So understanding that, let's see what are the rich in fiber foods, high in rich fiber foods. So as I explained, one of the greatest issues associated with the crap foods is they lack fiber. Crap in the sense, calorie rich and processed. Greger believes eating fiber rich is integral to losing weight. Firstly, fiber is satisfying while also containing few calories. Additionally, as fiber rich foods often take longer to chew and eat, they will also get full faster. Fiber rich foods allow you get full quickly and more extended period without a significant number of calories. Greger offers an example of apples and apple juice to explain the importance of fiber. On average, one glass of apple juice will contain 5 apples. The former can be drunk in a matter of seconds and will not keep you full for long. Compared to the latter, will take you considerably longer to eat and will also keep full for longer. The difference between these two is presence of fiber. Another benefit of fiber rich foods is that they can trap the calories in food. Due to plant fibers have a rough outer layer, your colon will take longer to digest this food. Subsequently, your colon will not extract all calories. Therefore, despite obtaining enough energy, you are less likely to store the plant fibers as fat. Subsequently, your colon will not extract all the calories. Therefore, despite obtaining enough energy, you are the plant fiber as fat. Finally, fiber rich foods nourish our gut microbiome. Gut bacteria thrive on fiber and subsequently release short chain fatty acids that reduce our metabolism. For example, Greger explains that 2017 study found that crab food like donuts are far less appetizing after eating a fiber rich meal. This effect lasts even up to 12 hours. We must do much better on fiber front. Less than 5% of Americans meet the minimum daily fiber recommendations. Therefore, to increase the amount of fiber in your diet, introduce more root vegetables and legumes to your weekly shop. Low glycemic load. To remove refined grains from your diet, it is to remove America's number of one source of calories. Switching to whole grains might help reduce body fat, but there is an even better swap. See the wall of your calorie section for taking your grain game to a top-notch graduate from mere whole grains to intact whole grains such as oats, groats, also known as hulless or hulled oats. A common argument made by low carb diets is that you should aim for foods with a low glycemic food. This one feature of diet fats that is correct, even though Dr. Greger does not advocate the low carb diets. Instead, Greger suggests that you avoid foods that can cause blood sugar spikes like white bread. White bread tastes sweet after you eat it because your body can digest this type of bread so quickly. Having high glycemic index foods in your diet will only lead to cravings. On the flip side, replacing your high glycemic foods will provide you with a slow energy release that prevents overeating. So let's see what is glycemic foods. So what is the glycemic aspect of food? The glycemic of food refers to how it affects blood sugar levels. These measured in two related metrics, the glycemic index and glycemic loads. So glycemic index is on a scale of 0 to 100. This measures how quickly a carbohydrate containing food raises the food levels after eating. Compared to pure glucose, glucose has a GI of 100. Foods are classified as low, medium or high GI. Low GI is 55 or less. Medium GI is 56 to 69. Higher GI is 75 to above. So lower GI food include mostly fruits, vegetables, potatoes. High GI foods typically include white bread, white snacks, many white rice, many breakfast cereals and snacks like crackers and cakes. Glycemic load takes into account the glycemic index as well as the amount of carbohydrate in serving of the food. It provides a most accurate picture of food's real impact on blood sugar. GL is calculated by multiplying the GI of a food by number of carbohydrates in grams provided for of the food and dividing by 100. Low GL is the foods have little impact on blood sugar levels. These foods have moderate impact on blood sugar levels. These foods have significant spikes. So the range is between 10 to 70 for GI and 50 to 70 for GI. For GL it will be 10 to 20. So 20 is the maximum cap, and more than that will also be the higher GL. So for managing blood sugar and overall diet, a diet focusing on low to medium GI foods and being mindful of GL can be beneficial, especially for individuals with the diabetes or those looking to manage their weight. However, GI and GL are part of the picture. Also important to consider nutritional content. So etymology of glycemic. The term glycemic originates from the word glycemia. So it means like the presence of glucose in the blood. Glyco means sweet. Emia means the medical terminology to indicate the condition of the blood. Glycemia. So as a rule of thumb, when eating any food, what should we see? So when choosing or eating foods, as a rule of thumb, aim for a balanced plate of nutrients and proteins. The portion control should also be the case here, and the fiber intake must be high, because high fiber can help you feel longer and may reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes. So right now, regarding the glycemia, we will see what is the rule of thumb. So check for glycemic index. Foods with the lower glycemic index are absorbed more slowly and can cause gradual rise in blood sugar levels. Mind the glycemic load takes account of GI as well as the amount of carbohydrates in serving. Food with the low GL have minimal impact on blood sugar levels. So So less than 10, less than 55, more than 70 is a totally no, and more than 20 is totally no with respect to GA and GL respectively. So low in added sugar, fat and meat, the story short 5. It's been argued that about 99.8% of our time on earth it was virtually impossible for us to reduce, consume more than 50% of calories as a fat. To regularly consume more than 50% of calories as a fat. It's been argued that for about 99.8% of our time on earth, it was virtually impossible for us to regularly consume more than 15% of calories as fat. Fat has greater calorie per gram rate than sugar. Gregor argues that added sugar should be eliminated from your diet. However, he also believes unhealthy fats can drive the obesity epidemic. Intuitively, fat is far easier for our body to convert into body fat than sugar. Plus, we are obtaining a far larger portion of our calories from fat than we use it to. Animal agriculture is partly to blame, as animals are bred to be far fatter than they used to be. Therefore, you need to cut out dairy, oils and meat. To support this point, Gregor points towards the study by Dr. Dean Ornish. Ornish found that by living on a whole plant-based diet, participants lost on average on 24 pounds. As well as cutting out animal products, which are primarily source of fat, Gregor also recommends cutting out added sugar. We now eat 12 times more sugar than we did 200 years ago. Crucially, sugar has zero nutrition value and simply offers excess calories. In fact, studies have shown that children having high sugar cereals ate 7% more than children who had a low sugar alternative. Therefore, eating excess sugar will only make you eat more. You might initially struggle to cut out animal products and sugar. However, your taste buds will quickly adapt and you will no longer notice the difference. Low in calorie density. Your typical meal should be filled with foods that have lower calorie density. Gregor explains that one of the greatest benefits of adopting a whole food plant-based diet is you do not have to restrict your portions. You can eat unlimited quantities of food and still lose weight. Foods that have low calorie density generally have high water content. Example of these foods are non-starchy vegetables and fruits. Generally, we eat the same amount of food each day, determining by stretch receptors in our stomach. Therefore, if we fill our diet with low calorie density foods, we easily lose weight. Plus, you can eat as many cow guts, apples, pears and other nutritious foods as you like. Rich in legumes. Legumes have been found to be perhaps the most important dietary predictor of survival in older people. Legumes as a wonder food. Gregor explains the Hispanic Americans are an anomaly in America. They have a lower risk of cancer and heart disease despite typically being in the lower economic range. The most popular theory to explain that this trend is that they have a legume-rich diet. Gregor describes a legume as falling somewhere between a vegetable and a protein. It is filled with several essential nutrients such as iron, zinc, potassium. The high-fiber legumes make this one essential to the weight loss. Gregor provides several examples of studies where legume eaters are compared directly with the individual eating animal products. In each of these studies, the legume eaters ate fewer calories at their next meals. They also reported being less hungry later in the day. Legumes are inexpensive and can be brought ready cooked in a tin. So let's see, what do we mean by legumes? So legumes are a class of vegetables that are characterized by the ability to fix nitrogen from air into the soil, which improves the soil fertility. Produce seeds in pots, which is like featuring a plant in this family. They are highly valued in diets around the world due to their high protein, fiber, nutrient content. So some of the legumes are lentils, peas, chickpeas, peanuts. All these are variety of ways. Any rule of thumb to say to identify the legumes? So some of the legumes can be easily characterized by seed pods. Legumes grow in a pod. This is a key characteristic. The pod usually splits open on two sides where the seeds we eat. If you see the pods, they are likely the legumes. Leaf structure. Many legumes have compound leaves, which are made up of several small leaflets. Nitrogen fixing ability. Flower structure, known as resembling to a butterfly, papilionias. Type of seeds or a clue. Growth form. So basically, let's see what is the meaning of seed pods. Seed pods are the plant where seeds are developed and contained. After the plant flowers and petals fall away, the ovary begins to swell, forming a pod that encloses the developed seeds. The structure and appearance of seed pods can be widely different. So, pods, meaning and etymology. So, the pod refers to a type of plant structure. A seed container in opens in a along a seam to release the seed it contains. The pod varies in size and shape. The etymology of pod traces back to 18th century, which refers to a bag or pouch. This reflects the pod roles in nature's container for seeds. It encapsulating protective nature, much like a bag or pouch with which hold the protects and protects its contents. So let's see the weight loss boosters. Dr. Michael Greger discusses a number of weight loss boosters that might help support weight loss. Some of these are eating protein-rich food. This can help serve muscle mass and support weight loss. Incorporate healthy fats. Stay hydrated. Drinking plenty of water can control appetite and support weight loss. Get enough sleep. Adequate sleep is also important. Engaging in physical activity, eating mindfully, and reducing stress. Chronic stress also lead to the weight gain. So, accountability. A feature of diet fads like Weight Watchers is the idea of accountability. Greger believes that one of the greatest strengths of these diet fads, even if they get to the rest of details completely wrong, try to establish a support network of communities that can offer you support structure for the accountability. Research suggests having these structures in place as you start a diet will significantly improve your chance of success. So if you struggle to find a whole food plant-based group locally or online, then you should always stay accountable to yourself. For example, Greger highlights a study where participants who weighted themselves once a week consistently lost weight. However, Greger recommends you take this one step further. Weigh yourself twice a day. consistently lost weight. Story short 2. Drinking lots of water. Drinking 2 cups of water increased the metabolic rate of men and women by 30%. The increase started with 10 minutes of water drinking and reached a maximum within an hour. In 90 minutes after drinking a single glass of total glass of water, the subjects burned an extra 24 calories. Simply drinking a tall glass of water 4 times throughout a day would wipe out nearly 100 extra calories, more than the calories burned by taking weight loss doses of now banned Enfedrin 3 times a day, plain, cheap, safe and regular tap water. Drinking lots of water is frequently associated with the weight loss. Gregor introduced systematic review study where investigated 12 studies that consider relationship within hydration and weight loss. They found that there is a clear weight loss benefit for having increased hydration. One of the benefits is actually indirect. So especially suppose an individual is drinking more water, in that case they are likely less likely to be drinking empty calories in the form of sugar. Suppose an individual is drinking more water, in that case they are less likely to be drinking empty calories in the form of sugar filled sodas. Adolescents in America would reduce this average calorie intake by 235 if they swap out soda for water. Additionally, there also appears to be direct relationship with hydration weight loss. A massive Harvard study tracked that diets and health over a 100,000 people for decades. They found well-hydrated people burn fat more quickly, plus the well-hydrated individuals produce less of an enzyme called anti-angiotensin. Angiotensin drives the accumulation of fat. Gregor recommends using your urine a way to measure your hydration level. You should be aim for a urine that is light yellow, like the color of straw. If it is darker than this, then you know you should be drinking more water. So translucent yellow is the best way. Mildly hydrated and dehydrated. Pale yellow starch. Drink water now, said the doctor. If it is brown and if it's light and hydrated and dehydrated, then it will be amber and dark yellow. So the very lightish yellow, pale straw yellow, is the best. So if it is darker than this, then you should be drinking more water. Story short 11. Negative calorie preloading. This book explains the concept of negative calorie preloading, which involves eating a small portion of low calorie, high fiber foods before a meal in order to reduce overall calorie intake. non-starchy vegetables, fruits, legumes and whole grains. Whole grains over refined grains, or as they are high in fiber. A small portion of these types of food before a meal can help reduce overall calorie intake and support weight. Eating before a meal, if you are eating the right things, can reduce negative calories. For example, research shows the people who eat an apple before a meal feel fuller and eat fewer calories overall. Therefore, try avoiding a low-calorie courses like salad. Try adding a low-calorie course like a salad to preload your meal. Sleep enhancement. Sleep deprivation tends to lead people to overeat by above 180 to 560 calories a day. Sleep is often considered essential but is neglected within the fad diets. However, Dr. Greger views sleep as one of the cornerstones of effective weight loss. Being tired is associated with eating more and more poor dietary choices. For example, studies suggest that late evening snack is associated with an excess of approximately 700 calories per day. Plus, studies also found that sleeping well seems to be associated with weight loss irrespective of what you eat. Those who sleep less tend to burn more muscle than fat, even when a calorie deficit. Some strategies of enhancing sleep, improving good sleep quality should be included. Should include: establish a regular sleep schedule, create a sleep friendly environment, reduce exposure to screens, avoid caffeine and alcohol before bed, using relaxation techniques such as muscle relaxation, meditation, deep breathing, reduce physical activity can regular physical activity can help the sleep quality. Maybe it will be helpful to experiment different approaches to find what best for you. Final summary: How Not to Diet uses thousands of studies and 5,000 references to encourage readers. The book discusses problem of obesity, what has grown, and the focus on availability of high calorie processed foods, the lack of fiber, nutrients are filled with and nutrients, lack of fiber, nutrients and lack of that, and filled with added sugars. And the book says that ideal weight loss should be high in rich fiber foods, plant-based and low added sugars. It also emphasizes that importance of physical activity and sleep. The book is a must read for anyone looking to improve health and overall health. It's a guide for sustainable fat that both healthful and sustainable. Overall, How Not to Diet is a valuable resource for anyone looking to improve their diet and achieve the healthy weight. It provides a weight of evidence-based advice and practical tips, and is well worth reading for anyone interested in improving their overall health and well-being. I literally liked this book, and one thing I am unsure about is the fiber. So let me just quickly search about the fiber and see what is the value that we get, you know, taking the fiber rich foods. Fiber and its etymology and its role in weight loss. So fiber refers to the indigestible part of food that passes through the digestive system, absorb water along with the way, and facilitating regular bowels and movements. There are two types of dietary fiber: soluble, which can dissolve in water and helps to regulate blood sugar vessels, blood sugar and cholesterol levels, and insoluble, which does not dissolve in water and helps to add bulk in the stool and prevent constipations. So etymology wise, the fiber can come with the fibra. It is coming from a fibra, like filaments and strings, essential structure of composition of material, including dietary context. So role in weight loss. Fiber plays significant role in weight management for several reasons. Satiety. High fiber food tend to be more filling, making you feel longer and reducing overall calorie intake. Digestion. Fiber slows the rate at which the food is digested, contributing to a steady rise and fall in the blood sugar. Nutrient absorption. Fiber can also help with weight management. Protein is a made of amino acids that are essential for body structure, function, regulation of tissues and organs. So holding for the first place, reflecting protein means holding the first place. Fundamental role of proteins in the living organisms. Role in weight loss. Protein is more saturating carbohydrates. Thermic effect of the blood, which help in the weight management. Muscle prevention. During weight loss, consuming an adequate protein can help preserve lean muscle mass, which is important since muscle tissue burns more calories at rest than fat tissue. This helps maintain a high metabolic rate, aiding in weight loss and loss of management. Both fiber and protein plays a distinct role, but complementary roles in healthy weight management, among other vital functions of the body. Incorporating a diet rich in both nutrients can support overall health and aid in achieving the maintaining a healthy weight. So fiber foods refers to the indigestible part of plant foods that passes through the digestive system. Fiber in meat. Dietary fiber is found only in plant-based foods such as the fruits. Meat, including poultry, fish, does not contain fiber. The nutritional value of meat lies in protein. So tell me the rule of thumbs to identify the fiber food. To easily identify the high fiber foods, you can follow the plant-based origins as a rule of thumb. Whole and unprocessed. The more natural the the more natural and less processed the food, the higher its fiber content is likely to be. Whole grains like brown rice, quinoa, whole wheat, bread contain more fiber and their unrefined counterparts. Skin and seeds. Legumes are key. Fruits and vegetables with edible skins are usually high in fiber. Eating the skin of fruits like apples, pears and vegetables like potatoes, cucumbers increase your fiber intake. Potatoes with the skins are a healthier option. So high fiber content, nutrient rich. Look for the hole when considering the grain products like bread, pasta. Hole in the first ingredient. Whole wheat flour. Colorful plates. A variety of colors on your plate often introduce a variety of fruits and vegetables. Different colors often mean different types of fiber and other nutrients. Read nutrition labels. Check the nutrition labels. Food and contain the more 5 grams of fiber per serving. Food that contain more than 5 grams of fiber per serving are considered high in fiber. Legumes are the key. Ensure fiber way to boost your fiber intake. So now I understood everything. So let me summarize what I have learned. So basically, because of the evolution factors, we tend to eat more, and then that's why the obesity is basically the cause of our evolution process. So in order to maintain and regulate that, we need to tweak it by eating the foods that are rich in fiber, which will take a lot of time to digest. So once we do that, we need to identify, like, our health habits also need to be changed. For example, if you are in a sleeping deprivation mode, then you should be having a good discipline of the sleep and also the hydration levels. And one way to assess your hydration levels is the color of urine that you go in terms of level. So it should be ideal in the pale straw yellow, and anything beyond that darker colors, you should be eating more. I mean, you should be drinking more water. So that is the rule of thumb there. And considering the fiber materials, like anything that is having the edible skin that is high in fiber, for example grapes, and also for example the guavas, so all these are rich in fiber. So eat the food that are rich in fiber. One rule of thumb is anything that has the skin, those are rich in fiber, and edible with the skin, those are rich in fiber. I think I got a very good insights of all these things, and I'm very happy to share that with you. So happy reading and mindful eating. See you.